Hi, my name is Steve Murphy, and I am the host of Meet America's Best Lawyers in the News. It's broadcast on KTLK 1150 AM. And I have with me today four excellent attorneys that are going to be able to answer some of your questions that you may have in the areas of employment discrimination, estate tax law, also Vioxx cases, and a variety of other issues here. I'm going to introduce each one of my guests. My first guest that I'm going to have on the show is Lynn Burnaby of the Burnaby Law Firm in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good, and thanks for being here. My next guest is Marvin Goodson of the law firm of Goodson, Wachtell, and Petrulis in Westwood, California here. And Marvin is an estate tax planner. Welcome to the show, Marvin.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here, Steve.
My third guest is Rick Simmons. He's in San Francisco, Hayward, exactly. And he's with the law firm of Furtado, Jaspovis, and Simmons. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Thank you.
And my co-host on the show is Jerry Ringler. You've all heard Jerry Ringler. He's a famous trial attorney in Los Angeles of the law firm of Ringler, Kearney, and Alvarez. Welcome back to the show, Jerry.
Always a pleasure, Stephen.
Lynn, there's a lot of things going on, particularly with the passage of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. And some of our listeners in our audience want to know, has Sarbanes-Oxley prevented the kind of corporate scandals we now see existed in Enron and WorldCom and those companies? And what exactly, for our listeners, what is Sarbanes-Oxley?
Well, Sarbanes-Oxley was a law or an act that was passed after the Enron scandal in 2002. It's in August, it'll be 4 years old. And what it was intended to do is compel companies to surface problems before they led to the accounting disasters or collapse of companies like Enron, WorldCom, things like that. And it was also intended to protect investors. There have been similar type scandals in a number of companies after the passage of Sarbanes-Oxley. For instance, Fannie Mae's restatements occurred after Sarbanes-Oxley was passed. So while you can't say it's working 100% of the time, I think companies generally are more reluctant to fire whistleblowers and more willing to listen to what they're saying.
Lynn, why don't you explain to our listeners how Sarbanes-Oxley actually protects those that are in the workforce and those in corporate America?
The idea was that if someone inside the company reports of securities violations, insider trading, illegal accounting practices, things of that sort, that they should have job protection and they should have protection and not be fired, like some of the other celebrated whistleblowers. The problem, we do think that it's working to some extent to protect whistleblowers. The problem is the courts and the Department of Labor have been less than has been less vigilant, I think, than lawyers like me think they should be to strictly enforce the law.
Lynn, let me interrupt you here for a second, because I'm sure there's a lot of business executives out there and general counsels that are well aware of Sarbanes-Oxley, maybe don't know what programs they should implement. Real briefly, can you give me like 2, 3, 4 programs that should put into effect?
Sure. From the employment standpoint, you have to have a program that protects whistleblowers. So you have to have a system where if an employee, no matter what level in the organization, feels there's problems, that can be surfaced to the appropriate management level. And if the person alleges retaliation, that can be investigated. There also should be general training of all managers to inform them that they are not to retaliate against employees, however much they might not like to learn the news about problems, that they're not to retaliate against them.
Lynn, that sounds all nice and dandy. Let me ask you this question. If I am an employee of a company, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job if I go to my boss and I know he's involved with some, you know, illegal activity. Is there a telephone number? Is there somebody else I can call? And if I call that number and I'm wrong, what repercussions do I have against me?
Well, you are always protected, and I'm talking now legally protected. Of course, companies do retaliate, and then you have to sort of work to effectuate your legal rights. But you're always protected if you report the violations to the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Mm-hmm.
employees are not expected to be lawyers. They're not expected to be securities lawyers who know the ins and outs of the securities law. If you have a reasonable belief that you, the information you have is a violation of the securities law, you're protected. And what I often advise clients, because I tend to get clients who are in the reporting change to the SEC, is that if there is any chance the SEC is going to come in and investigate, or the Department of Justice is going to come in and investigate, you want to be the first one to talk to them, because you're going to be seen as a protected whistleblower and not one of the wrongdoers.
Would you explain to our listeners, Lynn, what the risk is for those employees if there are repercussions that the employer decides to implement as a result of their whistleblowing status?
Well, and as you can imagine, you know, the people at the top of most companies don't like being reported to be doing illegal things, and so there's often retaliation, some subtle and some not so subtle. And, you know, the best way to protect yourself is to put your reports in writing to the appropriate management level in your company, and if necessary, in writing to the Securities and Exchange Commission.
What about a corporate executive or somebody's in a supervisory position and they see some illegal activities going on, but they don't report it? What's their obligation?
I think you have an obligation to report it to your boss. Now, what if you're not in the general reporting line to the Securities and Exchange Commission, that is, if you're not on the audit committee, you're not the chief financial officer, you're not the general counsel, or you're not counsel to the audit committee, you really don't have direct line reporting responsibility. So, you know, you don't have as great responsibility to do something. But I think you're safe if you report it to your boss and if possible in writing, so that you're protected if it ever becomes a bigger issue.
What about the issue of attorney-client privilege? And what I mean specifically about that is this. Let's say the general counsel at a company has been told something by one of the corporate officers, okay? And technically they're protected under this attorney-client privilege, but they know an illegal activity is taking place. What is the responsibility of that general counsel if he wants to report it to the SEC? And how does attorney-client privilege figure in that disclosure?
Well, this is it's a very good question. It's rather an unsettled area. The Department of Labor, which enforces the law in an administrative process, has generally been more protective of the attorney-client privilege. But the courts, by and large, have said that reporting illegalities or what you think to be illegality trumps the attorney-client privilege. In other words, if you're a lawyer and you've got a privilege to protect, if you think the company's acting illegally, you should go ahead and do that, because that, in essence, trumps any duty you have to keep it confidential.
So in other words, a judge is going to say there's no attorney-client privilege?
I think they will, most of the time, yes.
Because as you probably know, the U.S. Attorney's Office has a similar program which is called a deferred prosecution, correct?
Right.
Where they go in and basically what you said, the attorney-client privilege is trump for the security and the longevity of that company, correct?
That's right. That's right. And the other way to handle this is if you're an in-house counsel, the other way to handle this, of course, is to go to the Securities and Exchange Commission, and they have very strong regulations. It's disputed by some of the state bars, but in most states, if you go to the Securities and Exchange Commission as a lawyer and say, this is a violation of the law, the securities violations, and I want to report it to you, you're going to be protected.
Why don't you take our listeners through the kind and type of abuses that happen every day in the workforce with the average working fellow or working gal as opposed to the corporate world, and what the remedies are for those types of abuses?
Well, those can range from everything from discrimination on the basis of your gender, on the basis of your sexual orientation, on the basis of race.
What kind of cases do you see mostly?
Well, it's interesting. It's changed over the years. Right now, we see a lot of sex discrimination cases, a lot of gender race discrimination cases, and now, because after 9/11, we see a great deal of discrimination against Muslims and Arabs.
And what are the rights for these acts of discrimination? How does the average individual go about protecting themselves when they are the victim of that kind and type of discrimination?
Well, what we tell people is that you always want to try to resolve things at the lowest level possible, even before you get to a lawyer. So if possible, document what's going on, try to work it out internally with the HR department. Oftentimes it doesn't work, and you have to file a formal complaint. We usually advise people, even people of limited means, that they should get a lawyer to help them with the process. And in most cases, you have to file with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. In most states, they have, for instance, California is certainly one of them, they have a state Equal Employment Opportunity body where you can file a state claim.
Okay. Do you find yourself primarily talking to people after they have a problem with a company or before they have approached management in the company?
Unfortunately, it's usually after.
Now, let me ask you, from your side of the fence, since you see all these problems, do you ever have companies call you up and say, Lynn, can you help us set up a program so we don't have these problems?
No.
Never?
Never.
You're the right person to call, aren't you? What, do they consider you the enemy or what?
Well, I think most companies are skeptical of plaintiff lawyers because they think that they'd be too severe.
How are companies handling these cases you mentioned earlier of racial discrimination, primarily of Middle Eastern origin?
It's pretty scattershot, but there's there's a lot more over-discrimination, I think, against Muslims and Arabs than against any other group right now. And the kinds of discrimination that we don't see anymore against women or we don't see against African Americans, we're seeing cropping up in the field of Arabs and Muslims because people feel that given the sort of general prejudice in the country right now, that it's appropriate to do these things.
Okay. If you had some advice to give to employees out there in our audience, what would you say to them to make sure that they are being properly treated by their employers?
I think one key is to choose the right job. And if you go into a company that has a reputation for being, you know, bad in terms of race, in terms of sex, in terms of national origin, it's going to be very difficult to make your way. And, you know, I say that knowing that there's a lot of bad workplaces. Second thing is to try to find some place in the company that you feel you can work with the people, your superiors. You know, I always tell people that after you file the complaint, not in 100% of the time, but I would say at least 50, 60% of the time, they're going to find a way to get you out. And whether you get out with compensation to help give you a cushion for your new job or not, it's very hard to file a complaint or a lawsuit and stay in that company.
Excellent. I want you to hold that thought because we are going to a station break. My name is Steve Murphy, and this is Meet America's Best Lawyers in the News, KTLK, 1150 a.m. on your dial. We will be right back. Thank you.
You're listening to Meet America's Best Lawyers, L.A. and Orange County's Finest on KTLK AM 1150. Today's broadcast made possible in part by the Hotel Griffin, voted the best boutique hotel in San Francisco Magazine's Best of the Bay Area 2004. Our goal is to welcome you back. Begin your trip at hotelgriffin.com. By the University of San Diego, which regards peace as inseparable from justice and advances education, scholarship, and service to fashion a more humane world. SanDiego.edu. Travel a la mode. Watch videos about your destination. TravelAlaMode.com. Check it out before you check in. By the City of Ontario, the gateway to Southern California. Take an online tour at ci.ontario.ca.us. And by Sky Auction, travel auctions and buy it now deals to see the world. Best prices guaranteed. Now you're going somewhere. SkyAuction.com.